Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
Family and secret devotion. That third paragraph down. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotion. And then it continues to religiously educate our children to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintance. And I just want to highlight for you quickly, this is found in the Old Testament, it's found in the New Testament, but it's this issue about family devotion and secret or private personal devotion. And we find in Deuteronomy, the verse that we had read this morning, Deuteronomy 6:4, just a few verses later, verses 6 and 7. Let me read these to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We have a responsibility to teach the principles of God's word to our household, to our children. It is not the obligation or the responsibility of the school system or any other kind of educational institution to educate your children. As a parent, it is your responsibility and your obligation to educate your child, and we in our church covenant outline the importance of educating them about religious manners, and that we vow to do so. And with that, the necessity of family devotions and of private devotion. A devotion is an act of dedication or to set apart to a sacred work. You need to have a set apart time for your private life and for your family life. That's literally what the meaning of devotion is that set aside for something else. In the Old Testament, we read fathers were instructed to lead in family devotions, and mothers were to preserve the spirit of the devotions as the fathers went out to their work day. Boy, secret or private devotions. Again, this is an Old Testament custom that's still to be maintained today. Alone, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. Alone, the Bible says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob talked with God and made vows to him. Alone, Moses talked with the Lord, and in that hour of devotion made a full surrender of his life to him at 80 years of age. It was alone that Elijah, Elisha, and David spent hours of fear, anxiety, and even frustrated wrestling with God. But the principle was there. They had private time alone, and we need that yet today, and we vow and promise to maintain that same practice in our own home. Boy, so much again that could be mentioned. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they were true to their private devotion time. I think of Daniel when they said, you can't pray, offer these things any up to the king, but except to anyone but the king. And Daniel, at that time appointed for his own personal private prayer time, what did he do? He set that time aside and he prayed to the Lord God of heaven. And as a result, they said, aha, we got you. We got you now. You broke the law. Of course, we know what transpired there in the Lord's deliverance of Daniel. But the point being that not even a legal decree from the king kept God's people from having private devotion time with the Lord. And us who, well, we are free to worship in public, how much more so in private, oftentimes just simply can't be bothered because we are too busy. We live in a culture of busy. And I've heard it all my life. If you are too busy to read your Bible, you are too busy. Nothing should replace that separated time for a believer with God privately, and then as a family unit as well. And that's what we're about to look at when it comes to the religious education. But even in the New Testament, so many examples could be shared. But what better example than our Savior? Oftentimes, at the close of a day, he would go off alone to pray. It was a time of devotion set apart. The Bible says, rising early before it was yet day, he would pull apart for that private devotion time. Knowledge of such devotions will stay with a husband to keep him from wrong during his day's labors. The thoughts of devotions will strengthen a mother in the caring for the home, the doing of her chores, and often drudgery that comes with it. The impressions of these devotions will keep paths of youth away from sin and wrong that's going to be placed right there before their eyes. No family, listen very closely, no family can be a Christian family or a family that exhibits those Christ-like values without devotion, without devotion. So we engage to maintain these things. That means it's something that has been happening, and we are going to continue to make sure that they happen. And then to religiously educate our children. And religious education is incredibly important, especially in today's culture, the society that we live in, during the developmental cycle of a child's life. Any child who's deprived of a religious education in youth must go out and face the world in need of spiritual strength. They will be lacking on that they can draw from. The child that has no religious training in the home, in the church, or in Sunday school, has a distinct and obvious disadvantage in facing the problems of life. This is why we promise to obey God's word and to train up these children in the way that they should go. Love, patience, gratitude, forbearance, and perseverance are Christian ideals that should be planted in the very souls of children while they are yet in the home. They should be taught Bible stories and the importance of prayer. They should know these things, and not just from the church, but in the home. Boy, at a young age, during the school years, and then when they're away from home, how important it is that they be able to have truths to lean on and to glean from. You need to make sure, parents, that your children know how to walk on their own. Alone, for lack of a better term. Will they ever really be alone? No, but they may be outside of your oversight, your immediate care and protection, and they need to know before they go how they live on their own when it comes to these spiritual matters of their walk with Christ. Because when they get out there, it's not the time to equip them to fight the battles that are come up. It will be too late. So much heartbreak, so much pain can be avoided if they are equipped beforehand, so that when that occurs, it's not the question, do I ask mom about this? Do I ask dad about this? Do I get some help? Do I figure it out for myself? It's simply, mom and dad said this would happen, and here it's happened. Now, what did they say was the right thing to do? What did they teach me about the Bible? They're already equipped. So we find the importance of instructing our children in the path of righteousness, his name's sake. And so we pledge to do this. Then we find that after religiously educating the children, it's also that we vow to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to have a personal, active life of seeking the salvation of the lost. Did you know that whether or not you volunteer to help man the booth at the flea market, or to go out on visitation, or to pass out tracts, or whatever it may be, regardless of how you exercise that personal evangelism, did you know that you have vowed personally to make actively sharing the gospel with those around you as a vow to this assembly in the presence of God? That's what it says, that you will seek the salvation of your kindred and your acquaintances. It is going to be a priority in your life to ensure that they have a clear presentation of the gospel message, not just in word, but in our life. Then we get into some of our personal conduct. To walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment. To avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Now, this is a big bill to fill. I mean, this is a lot, a mouthful. It can only be measurably met by the daily growth of Christian graces that you can find in Romans 1 and 2 and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. So let's quickly go over these. To walk circumspectly, time won't allow, but Ephesians 5:15 lets us know to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the idea of walking circumspectly means that one should conduct himself in a Christ-like manner. What it means, knowing that people are watching him. When one walks with moral watchfulness, caution, and prudence, he is walking circumspectly. That's what it means. That's what we vowed to do. We're going to be thinking before we act, before we speak, and before we go. We need to, Brother Archie shared that a while ago, you need to think about where you're going. Ponder the path of thy feet. That's what circumspectly, we're going to be cautious, and we're going to exercise ourselves in a Christ-like manner because we know people are watching.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.